Hey, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Chris. We're the host of True Believers, a comic book podcast, our weekly show about all things comics.
Welcome to episode 40 of True Believers. Last week, we watched Constantine's City of Demons, and this week...
This message is a warning and a reminder for any surviving Jedi. Trust in the Force. Time has passed, and our future is uncertain. Be secret, but be strong. We will each be challenged. Our trust, our faith, our friendships. But we must persevere, and in time, I believe a new hope will emerge. May the Force be with you, always.
I honestly don't know what any of that means. I'm just kind of vibing. But this week was sponsored by Travis, who suggested the episode. He is one of our original True Believers, so, you know, thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot, Travis, for making me do this.
Okay, so this week we watched, I told Andrew very specifically what three movies would be a really smart way to watch Star Wars, like having never cared about it before. And Andrew picks the literal last movie, not The Rise of Skywalker, because I refuse to acknowledge that that happened. But so this week we watched Return of the Jedi, and Andrew hated it because he's never watched A New Hope and he's never watched Empire Strikes Back. And I just let it happen, because once I said, hey, we should watch these, and he said, let's watch this, I was like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, who cares, honestly? Star Wars is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's because you've only really seen the heartless cash grab sequels, and then you watch literally the last movie that they made. But did you see what I mean about how it's just all bullshit, and they just, like... stuff up.
I've only seen two Star Wars movies ever, and the first one I seen was with that first one with Rey and whatever. I didn't care for that one, and then I watched this one, and I can tell you how much I do not care about Star Wars in the slightest. It is just, I see why people are into it, because it was a product of its time, you know. And if you get that nostalgia, whatever, you can like Star Wars. But the thing is,
Andrew's,
why are people watching it now?
Is so funny, like, just because I had no culture. Well, I knew a lot of things about Star Wars, like growing up, because people always talked about it and I have a really good memory. So I could have told you what pretty much the whole plot was, but I didn't know any of the people who were in it, except for literally Harrison Ford and Billy Dee Williams. Other than that, I was like, oh, you know, I told you about the Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher thing. I was like, they're famous for that? Wow. Never would have known. I watched Star Wars in 2016. And I really like it, but I think it's bad. But when Andrew's like, I don't get why people watch it, it's so obvious he's only seen these two movies. Because I promise you, they're not good. Like, they're very bad. But you'd have to watch the rest of them to get it. Because if you just raw dog it with Return of the Jedi, you didn't even watch him become a Jedi. Some people get burned alive in the first movie. There are these little 2-foot people who steal shit called Jawas. They rob people. They a super thief. What was that thing I sent you earlier?
I don't know. I try to block everything out of my memory about Star Wars. I just do not enjoy it whatsoever. I just don't care. I've never have. I get why people are into it. I do. I just can't do it.
You know what, though? I don't think you're giving it your best effort just because you're watching, like, the weirdest parts. But I'm not going to push it on you, because it's not like... For some people, Star Wars is like their religion. And it's just, like, a thing that I think is bad, but I like it a lot. I think Star Wars has a lot of really good... It's, like, technologically and, like, just the way that the story is told is so innovative. But also, it's like Casablanca. Have you heard anything about the making of Casablanca, Andrew?
No.
They didn't have the full script?
No.
They didn't have the full script written when they started filming the movie. So it's like, it would just, like, how, you know, I sent you that article that was like Riverdale. They show up sometimes that day when they're filming and they get the script. That's what Casablanca was like. And because they only planned to make the first Star Wars movie, like, that was Star Wars. And then later when they were like, oh, this is a cultural phenomenon, we're going to make a second one, they made Empire Strikes Back. They went back and retroactively titled it Star Wars: A New Hope, right? So then it became like Star Wars and for Empire Strikes Back, they had no plans past A New Hope. Like, if you watch that movie, it's contained. The whole storyline wraps up. But Empire Strikes Back is the bridge in between those two movies, you know, The Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back is the bridge between Return of the Jedi and A New Hope. So without watching, like, at least that, you're like, who the fuck is this guy in all black? Why will we care about any of this? I could get, like, how you were like, you haven't seen...
No, I'm not an idiot. I know Vader's his father. I know who
Palpatine is. I think you're stupid, like... but, like, emotionally, like, you're like, why would I give a shit about any of this? Like, me and Luke Skywalker, we was hooping in the gym together. I watched his aunt and uncle get burned alive.
My thing is, though, it's like, I get what people at the time would have liked this movie, because it was ahead of its time. Even like the special effects were good for 1983, but how are people watching this in 2020 and they're like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. I will die for this movie. This series is my religion. I don't want to say anything, but like, people are so up its ass and doesn't make any sense because it's not good.
It
does,
though. But you, like, it does, things don't have to be good to be like worthy of staying culturally. Because, you know, I think Star Wars is terrible. I just like it a lot. But like, you haven't seen all of it. Like, it is, I promise you, when you watch it, it's so endearing, or like the people are, because like I said, the plot is boo-boo garbage, because they, movie to movie, they were just grasping at straws. The one thing that they said that required, that was any kind of planning or forethought, was in the message to Obi-Wan, that, you know, hello, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope. And she's like, you served my father in the Clone Wars. That's the only thing that they said that led to any future thing and like would make sense. Like, they were just making stuff up. They just kept making stuff up. And that's kind of the beauty of it, because in one movie, this woman kisses her brother, like her full-on blood brother, like twins came out the same coochie on the same day. I was like, ma'am, but it's not like a, you know, it's not nasty. And I was, well, it is nasty. Like, but it's a fairly chaste kiss. I kind of thought, from people being like, oh my gosh, she kissed her brother, I thought she was slobbing him down. And I was like, ooh, I was ready. And then I was like, oh, I didn't want to see that, because I don't like watching people kiss. But you know, it wasn't as horrible as it could have been. It wasn't Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I still don't agree. I don't think that anybody should be worshiping anything as much as Star Wars fans worship this. Like, Harry Potter fans are the worst. Hate to say it. MCU fans are the worst. Like, they're just a part of this horrible stan culture. And again, it's not even good. Like, if you're going to worship something, at least let it be decent. It's like, just, I don't know.
Like, oh, wait, and I really did appreciate that, but I thought it was funny. I was like, excuse me, but like, you're saying all these things, but I'm telling you that I like it. Like, I'm here. Like, damn, I'm feeling attacked.
You're not one of these people who are up here licking Disney all over just because they made a movie, you know? You at least have acknowledged multiple times they're not good.
But here's the thing. You're giving Disney too much credit. Disney's only made like, they've made like 10% of the Star Wars content that's interesting. This is Lucasfilm.
Do you remember?
We're going to give George Lucas his coins. Not his coins, because I already gave him too many coins and needs credit.
No, do you remember when Disney bought it and people were so excited because they're like, oh my God, they're continuing Star Wars, blah, blah, blah. We love Disney. And it's like, what did y'all continue it for? Just another shameless cash grab. You used Carrie Fisher's debt just to make money, period. I've never been on board with that because Carrie Fisher hates these movies. But like, they were just all up Disney's ass for continuing a movie that didn't need to be continued.
No, actually, or a series, I think that you're wrong. They have made a lot of valuable content. It's just not in their films. Like, they continued the Clone Wars, which was something I had been interested in since they finished. I like what they, they didn't finish. They just got canceled like 10 years ago. I had seen some of the Clone Wars and I started watching it again after I watched Star Wars, because I was like, well, now I have a frame of reference for like what's going on. It's actually a pretty good show. And they did Rebels, like some of this, and then with like the Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett, some of the stuff is fun. I just think I think they are, but those are things that are made by people who have, like, it's like the MCU, how I said a lot of it, they're so focused on a singular vision as a whole, they're not making, like with Star Wars, I see these movies and I'm like the originals, I'm like, George Lucas was, I think it's bad, but like he was in his element, you know. George Lucas, he motherfucking did that, you know. With the Disney Star Wars movies, all I can really see is like, they were on bullshit. I don't know how to explain it. It's just like, they were like, we want to make a movie series and we're just gonna do stuff. We're just going to throw something at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah. It was a shameless cash grab is all that was. It's not that hard to see it, but, you know, whatever.
People just the movies, like the other stuff that they did, like with Rebels and like the Clone Wars, like that's Dave Filoni. Like, Dave Filoni came on for season 2 of The Mandalorian. Jon Favreau did season 1 of The Mandalorian.
You know what, though? I will say, like, I think I already said it, but the special effects were really good in 1983. But this fight scene at the end of this movie with, what is his name? The kid and Darth Vader.
Luke?
That was Luke, yeah. Luke, that was the funniest shit I've ever seen. It was so fucking funny. Like, this is the best fight scene I think I've ever seen in my life.
No, you gotta...
the way he was killing Luke.
Bro, you're not even getting to the meat of the fight scene. Because with... When he shoots him with that lightning, Mark Hamill makes this face, like his cry face is so funny to me. It's like, you know how Courtney in season one, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, how she was like, oh my God, I just love it when Kim cries because she's got this like ugly cry face. Mark Hamill makes that same damn face. He's like, oh.
That's not even the best part. The best part was these people have so much power, right? Allegedly. They don't ever use it in this movie, but they have so much power. And then they're fighting with their little light swords and then fucking loops up on this little platform, right? And then he just throws his lightsaber. Darth Vader throws his lightsaber. I was like, that's your go-to move? You're just gonna throw your lightsaber up there. I mean, I know you can get it back, but like, that shit took me out. That was so funny. He just throws his lightsaber at him. I was like, bruh, you can
I feel bad for you anything. Because you're not even getting the prime Darth Vader moments. Because when I told you that, like, Anakin, you know, obviously he's my favorite character, and then behind him is Luke, but also then Darth Vader, because I do consider them separate characters. James Earl Jones was eating this role, because in the first movie, somebody tries to talk noise because, you know, he believes in the Force or whatever, and that's like his religion, because being like a Sith or a Jedi, it's kind of like a religion. I don't know really how to explain it.
No, they worship it. It's crazy.
No. I mean, yes.
But, and it's their way of life. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, I was like, not like that. But yes, especially for like Darth Vader, because like I was telling you before we started the episode, like he didn't have a dad. He's like Space Jesus.
He's weak.
He's not weak. Somebody in the Empire tried to talk noise. They'll be like, oh my God, you believe in that Force crap? And he hit him with that patented choke move. And he was like, make sure you speak, get it correct. I need you on your P's and Q's when you speak to me, the Darth Vader. Like, when you hear that, buttholes get clenched. Because
I'm not into that. That's disgusting.
The scene, the mode has changed. We're on a different mode now. We're on a different vibe. The circumstances have changed because Darth Vader is in the room. You hear that?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it.
You hear that? And that lightsaber, we on go.
I'm not a fan of Darth Vader, but that fight scene was some. It was funny as fuck.
You're not.
When he just picks up Palpatine.
He picked him up like Andre the Giant, you know, in The Princess Bride at the end where he throws them all out the window.
Yeah, the funniest part about the whole thing was he's just shooting lightning the entire way down because he picks him up and says, yeet down this hole.
The funniest part is that he picked him up with his hands and he was electrocuting him on the way down.
Like, why didn't he stop using lightning at any point?
The first time, I think it has something to do with the Sith power. They had to explain that in some kind of way. I'm sure they have. But the first time I saw the movie, I truly did not understand how Darth Vader was dying because I didn't see the lightning thing because I was too busy laughing. Because I was laughing because I saw Mark Hamill make the face and I was like,
See, that's why I said he was weak. I was like, how are you going to want to be a part of the dark side, but you throw your boss down like a hole just because of your son? I was like, nah, you never.
He didn't want to be a part of the dark side. He actually turned to the dark side. He thought he could save his wife because he thought she was going to die.
See, he wasn't about that life.
She did end up dying. No, I think it's
isn't
pretty
that
much
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, it's pretty much implied that actually the Emperor killed her. So I don't know. I don't know if that's just what I got from what I saw, but it's because he was having all these visions and oh my God, Hayden Christensen was so sexy. Like he would have a vision, like a bad dream, and they would be in the bed together. And you know, he got to be sexy for his girl at all times. So of course he'll wake up with his black pants on, no shirt, all dipping down to the V of his incredible 12-pack abs, long hair. I'm setting the scene for you to let you know. I've watched the movie, what is it called? Revenge of the Sith. I watched Revenge of the Sith so many times. Ask me what the plot is, like, while I'm trying to describe it to you. I couldn't tell you, but I could tell you, I told you exactly what he had on the scene and how curled and tussled his hair was. If villain bad, why sexy?
I don't know.
That's really my argument. To get back on track, I didn't notice that he got electrocuted when he was picking him up. I was like, why would you just set him down? Why did you pick him up with your power? Why did you pick him up?
That's what I'm saying.
There were so many. Well, I guess he's in a big metal suit. So
he literally like picked him up two-handed and just like he was a fucking child and threw him.
The funniest part about this is that like the part right after that is the part that has always made me emotional, like with Star Wars, when he's like, Father, I can save you. And he's like, no, it's too late for that. He's like, take the mask off. You'll die. He's like, no, I just want to look at you with my own eyes, just this once. And that line always makes me tear up. But then when he reveals his face, it's like,
yo, I was about to say that's at least a sweet line. But then when he takes off that mask completely and he looks like a white dried up raisin, and was not the vibe.
He looks like a raisin. He looks like a turnip.
You know that's not better. Like, that's worse. He looked disgusting. He looked like
a cone head.
Turtle was halfway going into its shell. That's what he looked like. A white like turtle. He's the halfway changed Animorph.
God, like somebody turned into a starfish.
Yeah, you know what? Either way, he looked disgusting. I was like, you mean to tell me this is Anakin? Even I know Anakin was hot. He was like burned and whatever. That's what he has the suit. But like,
the funniest part about this is that like I had no knowledge that Hayden Christensen was Anakin Skywalker before I like literally turned on Attack of the Clones, and I was like, yo. The nerd should have told me this information. I knew Natalie Portman was in them for the dumbest reason, because I didn't care about Star Wars either. But she wore this t-shirt that says Stop Wars for a photo shoot with the Star Wars font. And somebody, it became a meme because they were like, fake geek girls. She probably hasn't even ever seen Star Wars, blah, blah, blah. And then somebody was like, she was literally in them.
That was like one of the moments that I was like, Natalie Portman is one of the best actresses. Just to put up with something like that, I thought it was hilarious. I love Natalie Portman from that day on.
That's my goal in life. My goal in life is to get attached to some major franchise and then just be, I'll probably be really into it too, because I like stuff. But like when people are like in episode 32, I'd be like, child, I don't even watch this show. What you talking about?
Gwyneth Paltrow, pretend you don't even exist.
Was I in that movie?
Gwyneth. She said, I don't know what movies I'm in. I got paid. I went home.
I mean, to be fair to Gwyneth, apparently they be having people in the Marvel gulag. They have them shoot like back to back to back, and they don't know what they're shooting exactly for what movie. And they give them decoy scripts, and that's so ridiculous.
I hate Disney. Sorry. I hate how they operate. Like, you could just tell it's not a great place. But when you get that money like that, it's a different story. So I guess it works.
Yeah, because this is so funny. Like, asked John Boyega if he would come back and do more Star Wars, and he was like, no. But Oscar Isaac, they were like, you want to come and do Moon Knight? He said, what the check look like? I don't know about the internal workings of these men's minds, but I know that was the thought process, because he was like, no, what the check look like? I could do a little Moon Knight.
I would go join Star Wars right now if I had the right check. I don't even care. I spent the first half of this podcast talking about how much I hate it. I would go join right now, tomorrow. Give me that money.
Listen, if they put the check in my hand, I would stop telling people that I think Star Wars is bad.
I'll go play Ray's father. I don't even care.
No. Okay, you know why that's funny, right?
She don't have a dad. Oh, wait, no, that's Anakin or something like that. Or one of the main characters.
It's Anakin, but Rey's dad was a clone of Palpatine. Like that. You know how I told you the ninth movie, like the third sequel, makes no sense. And how somehow Palpatine returned was really like an actual line of dialogue. And that's why I keep saying it. Her dad, who she doesn't remember, was a clone of Palpatine. And then Palpatine shows up and he's like, you're my granddaughter. And she's like, no.
I love Palpatine. That bitch is funny. I can't say nothing. God, he's hilarious. He's like one of my
favorite characters. He be out here scheming.
From one of the very few characters I know, I like Palpatine and I like Darth Maul. Those two just tear it up. Like,
Even seen a single appearance of Darth Maul. You just know that I told you he killed Liam Neeson, and you were like, what? Oh my God, he's scary.
No, it's the vibes. He's got the horns, and he's got like the cool lightsaber, and he's red. This bitch looks like the devil. Like, come on.
Me it's and Darth vibes. Maul, we got big beef because he keeps showing up in the animated shows, and I heard that he finally stopped showing up in Rebels, but I still haven't finished Rebels. Me and him got beef because when he showed up in the Clone Wars, I was like, why won't you die? It was like me, Billy, and that big ass spider. What was his name? Jeff. You know how she was like, Dad, why won't you love me? I want you to be dead.
That's me. Like a billion, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know another one I really like? Just because you made me look him up earlier today, was General Grievous, that spider living thing.
General Kenobi.
And then you're like, he kills people and takes their lightsabers. I was like, that's bad bitch energy from a fucking robot. Like, come on.
You know, I'm not really sure if he's entirely a robot or not, because I think he's a cyborg, but I'm 100% not sure. Like, and I don't want to look it up. I have no interest in knowing that.
Whoa, I don't know. That bitch is scary. He comes at you with four arms and four different lightsabers.
Bro, that's and they funny. Spin around.
That's funny.
The like, arms spin is not like funny. Like a blender.
So it's just four blenders coming at you. They did something with that. Come on, Star Wars.
Bro, and then actually the character so I think you funny. Would like the most, honestly, Count Dooku, because even though he does get killed in like the beginning of number three, he is in number two when he shows up is exclusively to talk shit. It's so funny. Like he was like, Obi-Wan, and he shows up in the Clone Wars TV show too. And he's like, Obi-Wan, you are so skilled. You are so talented. Anakin, you are here being disappointing.
You made me look him up and I was like, that outfit though, like I want that little cape he's wearing.
He is styling. And Count Dooku is a count, like a real count. It's not just he just started calling himself that, like the Emperor. No, he's the count of this planet called Sereno, I guess. And he's
I would like to believe he just chose that name. It's even funny. He just comes in and he's like, I'm Count Dooku.
The funniest part is he used to be a Jedi.
I thought he was. No, wait, he's evil. He's got the
he's a Sith.
Yeah.
But he used to be a Jedi. He's from my pictures. He's Obi-Wan's teacher's teacher and he's Yoda's student. Also, did you know Yoda? You didn't know this, but Master Yoda is played by Frank Oz, which is something I found out earlier today, and I think that's so cool.
I thought he was literally just not a CGI, whatever it's like below CGI. Yeah, I thought he was just existing.
He's a puppet.
As a person.
Frank Oz is like a really famous. So there are these things that you may have heard of. It's called Muppets. And Frank Oz is famous for them. Him and Jim Henson.
Oh my God. Bro, I didn't know that was the same thing.
You might have seen, I don't know, Muppets Tank Manhattan or quite a few Muppet movies, but I promise you, Frank Oz is really famous. No, the Muppets, that's why they have a Muppet Star Wars special, because the Muppets worked with Lucasfilm.
That's actually interesting. I'll give Star Wars that. There you go, something interesting.
And he's the Cookie Monster. And Grover.
Good for him.
Frank Oz is really cool.
Yeah, I never know who did that. Like, obviously, I've heard of the Muppets, but I never know who did that. That's cool.
That's my favorite obnoxious way to talk to people. I don't know why. You may have heard of this thing. I say it to my mom all the time, and I know one of these days she's going to punch me in the face. She's going to forget that she's my mom and be like, I'm tired of this girl.
I can't even say nothing. You probably had it coming for a minute.
Yeah.
I know you have. I can't say probably.
You should have seen all the grief that I give my mom over not being computer literate, because I'd be like, ma'am, you're not even old.
I know how she feels.
No, you get less of an excuse than her, because at least, like, she's a mom. You are 26. You have the computer literacy of a 50-year-old.
I am what I am.
But you know what? You're at least really good at researching things. You could find out anything. I'd be like, I met this guy. His name was Tawandale. You were like,
17 kids. Frederick? He was arrested in 1941. How old is this man? 1941. The fuck am I saying?
He worked at a Piggly Wiggly in 1962.
Exactly. He owns one now in 1971.
Go to Wandale, Frederick.
Go to Wandale. I see you with your Piggly Wigglies.
It's a franchise. And he's moving on to Raising Kane.
It's a franchise now because of Mr. Piggly Wiggly. What did we say his name was?
Tawandale. Tawandale. I don't know why I picked that. I just was like, I need a name.
Tawandale Stevens. That sounds like a fucking Star Wars character.
You remember Tawandale. That glove shit on me? It's like people be like, oh my God, it's him. It's my favorite character. And then be like, it's somebody named Glove Shit on me. That's funny. Character from the Star Wars universe known to hardcore fans but unknown to general audience? Every time that's from Urban Dictionary, and it's every time a new Star Wars movie or show is announced, all the fans are like, OMG, Glup should have was back.
That's actually funny. I'll give it that.
It's just the fact that I was really excited, because I told you, I like, you asked me questions about Star Wars and I just know a lot of stuff, and we were literally arguing about that right before we started recording, because I was like, I never tell you about the stuff unprompted, and you were like, okay, fair. The one time I did was in the Book of Boba Fett when they name dropped Mandalore Tari Vizsla, and I was like, yo. And then Andrew was like, he sent me the Glove Shido meme and was like, and just the frowny face, and I was like, ooh. It's just the fact that I was like, I can't believe they did this. I was so, like, I was so excited. And you were like, nobody knows what you're saying.
Pretty much. I still don't even know exactly what you're saying. I honestly just have never cared. And I'm glad people like it. I'm glad people enjoy their things whenever they're not being, what's the right way to say, a toxic fan base. I'm glad people can enjoy these things. I will never be one of them.
Also, I sit here as like we're recording. I have my Darth Vader snuggie on and I'm holding my little, what do you call this? My little Luke Skywalker Tsum Tsum. Like I've been stroking his head like Dr. Evil and that hairless cat.
Look at you celebrating May the 4th.
You know, Luke is my boy behind, you know, his literal dad. Anakin, one thing about me, I'm going to stick beside him. People be like, he killed kids. And maybe those kids had bad vibes.
See, I think that's funny that they just... How do we always just gloss over the fact he killed a room full of children?
We don't get past that. He was evil. What's funny though is that you gotta at least watch like the last 15 minutes of Revenge of the Sith because it's so crazy. Like he kills these kids. And then him and Obi-Wan fight, and that's the actual only good, interesting fight in Star Wars. Cause I was like, get him, Obi-Wan. Ah! I was spectating, you know.
I would like to think this was the most interesting fight. I've never seen a grown man pick up another grown man and throw him in a hole in any movie ever. Like,
well, that was I have in The Princess Bride.
True,
but it was Andre the Giant, so it was a lot cooler. This was
it for me. It was amazing. Lightning flying the entire way. He's going down this giant hole. It was perfect. It was cinema history right there.
If you watch the end of friggin' Empire Strikes Back, Darth Vader tells him, he's like, they fight first of all, and it's an intense fight, and then he's like look into the Force, you know it to be true, I'm your father. And the moment really does live up to the level of drama that it promised. It gave what it was supposed to give, and then he's like, no. But then he cuts off his hand and he's like, join me and together we can overthrow the Emperor and we can rule the galaxy as father and son. So Luke is sitting there handless holding his stump. Like, what the fuck? And then
he jumped. Cut off his robot hand and then it just fell in the same hole.
No, it's his regular hand.
That's a robot hand.
They cut off Luke's robot hand too. Yeah. So it's like, you got me twice. Damn.
Like, let me have at least one hand. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I can support people who are happy about it without being toxic about it. Good for them peoples. But I'm never watching another Star Wars thing again by choice. I got suckered into the first one with Rey. I got forced to go to the movie theaters. I'm okay never seeing Star Wars.
I think The Force Awakens could have been great if J.J. Abrams didn't direct it.
I will say, I like it whenever I ask you a random question and then I get interested and I Google random pictures of what these people look like. So that's funny. So they do that for me.
The funniest part about that is that me and Andrew we meant to do that this episode. We were running out of time, but... Andrew was describing random outfits that Natalie Portman wore throughout the movies, and I was telling him with like pinpoint accuracy like what movie it was, what they were doing. I was like, no, but, and then one of them, I was like, oh, that's not Natalie Portman who wore that. That's Rose Byrne or Keira Knightley. I was like, yeah, it's
one of them. And then I was like, wow, they're in the same movie, and then that helped. See, those are good times. At least Star Wars does that for me.
It serves Luke.
It, if nothing else, they do have good looks in this.
Padme,
this
was also the movie
that Yoda died.
Oh yeah, Yoda died. I gotta pour one out for the dead homie later.
Yeah, I was like, bruh, this movie lasted so long. I was like, so many things are happening, but at least some parts of it, as much as I hate these movie, I will say some parts of it were really good. Like when Yoda died and he left that little cliffhanger for him, I was like, dude, that was fucked up. Little green
you
thing.
Really would have liked Empire Strikes Back, because it starts off, when I tell you, we're on go from the beginning. Like in the beginning, I think Luke gets trapped in a snowstorm and Han Solo has to go out, kill a random animal and like stick Luke inside so he doesn't get frostbite.
They had to fight Jabba the Hutt in this one.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch anything with Carrie Fisher in it either, just because of what they did to her. So there's that. That also had a sour taste in my mouth this entire movie. So, you know, I don't really have much else to say. It does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
I think you would probably like it better if you would next time listen to a real one like me. Cause that's so funny, Andrew, that I literally was like, oh, we could watch this, this, or this. And then you were like, let's watch this. And I was like, who goes in wanting to watch movie number like six? That's so funny. I can't believe you really you were like, watching movie one isn't enough for me. I have to hate. I gotta hate.
You know what? I did try to go in with an open heart in this one, but then I saw Carrie Fisher in like, you know, that little slave outfit she's wearing for Jabba the Hutt. I was like, I can't. Because you know how much problem she had just from wearing that outfit with how people treated her, and then like also her body issues and everything after that. It's just not something I could have supported. So I was like, yeah, it's kind of where it went downhill for me. But I guess whenever you watch this movie in 1983, you don't have like the background knowledge of all like what's happening to Carrie, you know, whatever, it's a different thing. But I went in and I was like, this is gross. I'm not a fan.
The funniest thing about the whole movie for me was that I had to rewind the movie like 2 times because apparently she chokes Jabba the Hutt to death with that chain. And I was like, how did he die? Because I guess I'm just not a present movie watcher unless I'm like really paying attention. I was like, can you go back, Mom? How did he die? And I was like, oh, she choked him. I was not paying attention. I did
she
not see that.
She lifted his fat slug ass off the ground and everything. She choked his ass out. That was like, damn, fat bitch.
It was the Force. When you trust in the Force, all things can happen. Keep
you can
on.
Choke out giant
the Force
slugs.
Don't stop. Don't stop till you get enough. Don't sue us, Michael Jackson. Anyway, I guess that's all for this week's episode of True Believers.
Thank you for all of your support, and we will see you next week. Once again, we'd like to give you a very special thank you to Traffic.
We're available on all major streaming platforms, and if you really like the show, please leave us a review and continue sharing with your friends. We really appreciate it. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion or pay to choose what we read or watch, you can find DM us on social media. You can email us, leave us a voicemail at 650-761-2629, or join our Discord. Bye.
Bye.